Chapter 32. Joe Marino, Bo's father, had expanded his business over time into the largest highway and heavy construction company north of Boston. His new offices were in a corporate mall he'd built just over the line from Marshport. He'd put on a lot of weight since Molly had seen him last. His hair had gone completely white, and he had a big, veiny drinker's nose. One thing, though, had remained unchanged with Joe Marino, and was evident to Molly within a few minutes after she and Sonny had taken seats across the desk from him. He was as mean and graceless as he had ever been, and still reminded her of a pit bull. Even his son had admitted to them, after the rape of Candace Pennington, that his father used to smack him around, trying to make a man out of him. "I got no time for this shit," he said. Molly smiled. "Nevertheless," she said. Joe Marino jerked his head in Sonny's direction. "Tell me why she's here again," he said. "Think of her as kind of my partner," Molly said. "She's kind of a cop herself." "How are you kind of a cop?" Marino said. Molly smiled as if she'd just been elected homecoming queen. "Unlike Molly," Sonny said, "I can't simply arrest people, no matter how much I feel the urge to do so."
"Is that supposed to be funny?" Marino said.
"Apparently not," Sonny said. He directed his attention back to Molly.
"You said you wanted to talk about my kid," he said. "Apple of my fucking eye."
Molly told him as succinctly as she could about the events of the past week, the attacks on her and directed at Jesse and Suit. She told him they were currently investigating a possible link between those attacks and the rape of Candace Pennington, and that they'd already spoken with Troy Drake and Kevin Feeney.
"Those pissants," Marino said.
"Nevertheless," Molly said again, and told him they were now seeking an interview with Bo.
"So you people can do him all over again?" Marino said.
He wore a short-sleeved white shirt, straining against his belly, a paisley tie. His face was red. His thick hands were clasped in front of him. Hands that looked, Molly thought, as if he'd built his business with them, busting as many heads as he had to along the way. "What Bo did, he did to himself," Molly said. "He raped a teenage girl while his friends watched, and then he watched them do it, and then he tried to threaten her into silence with naked pictures they took."
"Yeah," Marino said. "They got themselves into that him too shit ahead of their time."
"Me too," Sonny said.
"Whatever," Marino said. "Now you spend too much time checking out a woman's ass, you're looking at a lawsuit."
"Woke," Sonny said to Molly. "Definitely woke."
"Huh?" Marino said.
"Do you know where we could find Bo, Mr. Marino?" Molly said.
"Maine, last I knew."
"Could you be a bit more specific?"
"Living in Biddeford," he said. "Working some construction over in Kennebunkport. I offered him work with me. He turned me down."
"Imagine," Molly thought.
"Did he ever marry?" Molly said.
"If he did, I didn't get the invitation."
"Would he get married without telling you?" Molly said.
"He was pissed off at me, the way he was pissed off at the world," Marino said. "Because of the thing with a girl. I'd lose track of him for a couple of years at a time."
"No college?" Molly said.
"In the end, he didn't even finish freaking high school," he said.
He closed his eyes, shook his head.
"My only kid."
"When you two were in contact after he left Paradise," Molly said, "did he ever express a desire for revenge against Chief Stone or the rest of us?" Marino barked out a laugh. The sound was as unlikely as if it had come from a pit bull.
"When it first happened, with the girl? All day and every day, especially with Stone. Said if he'd been wearing a gun, and not Stone, when he was doing his community service, he would have shot him right there. Talked a lot about that. Maybe being the one with the gun someday."
"And now somebody does take a shot at Chief Stone," Molly said.
"And you think that after all these years my kid has come back here looking to settle things with Stone and the rest of you?" Marino said.
"As Molly said," Sonny said, "we'd just like to talk to him." She was wearing a short black skirt today, one that showed off her legs nicely. Sonny crossed them now. Molly watched Marino watch her do it.
Maybe he wasn't that worried about the Him Too movement after all.
Fuck it, he said.
He reached into the top drawer of his desk, came out with his cell phone, jabbed at it with stubby fingers.
What's your number? He said to Molly.
She gave it to him. Marino jabbed at the phone again and said he just texted her Beau's address in Biddeford and his cell phone number.
When was the last time you were in contact with him? Molly said. Christmas, he said. He called to tell me he'd stopped drinking.
Drinking a problem with him? Molly said.
One of several.
Molly stood then. Sonny stood. Joe Marino stayed in his chair. He looked up at Molly.
I don't think he'd start a regular job and stop drinking and then do shit that would put him in jail for real this time, Marino said.
Then he has nothing to worry about, Molly said. Does he?
She and Sonny turned to leave.
Hey, Marino said when they got to the door.
They turned back to him. He was addressing Molly again.
Can you give your boss a message for me? He said.
Certainly, Molly said.
Tell him to go fuck himself, Marino said.
First thing, Molly said. When they were outside, Sonny said, you were only wrong about one thing.
What?
There can't possibly be a bigger asshole in this town than him, she said.